This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coulee Region voters will have a number of decisions to make on November 6th. Among the handful of races taking place in the area is one in the 94th Assembly District. Wisconsin's 94th consists of Onalaska, Holman, West Salem, Bangor, and more. The district is currently represented by Democrat Steve Doyle of Onalaska. He's held the position for a year and a half, winning the seat in a special election after Mike Hipsch was appointed to Wisconsin's Secretary of Administration. Doyle is an attorney and also serves on the La Crosse County Board. He's being challenged by Republican Bruce Evers of Holman. He has more than 40 years of experience in the business and finance sectors. Both candidates join me in the studios today, live, for a candidate forum. Thank you to both very much for being here.
And thank you, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen.
I'm wondering if we can both of you can start out by telling us a little bit about yourself. Bruce, you won the coin toss, but you elected that Steve go first. So, Steve, can you just tell us a bit about who you are?
Absolutely. And again, thank you for sponsoring this debate. I apologize in advance if my voice gives out. I'm fighting a cold, but Bruce has graciously agreed to answer my questions for me if I can't do that. I was elected to the State Assembly last year after having served on the county board for 20-some years, the last nine of which I was county board chair. When I ran for the State Assembly last year, I didn't make a lot of promises. I made one promise, and that is that I would go to Madison and do my level best to try to bring about a bipartisan change of heart of the attitudes and the tension that existed in Madison, and I kept that promise. Let me tell you a couple of examples of how I did that. First of all, I had a person come to me about midsummer last year and said, you know, Wisconsin is the only state that taxes health insurance parents provide for their adult children, and can we change the law so that we don't do that anymore? And so I introduced a bill in that regard. But a couple months later, a representative from the other side of the state by the name of Pat Strakota introduced the same bill. And Pat called me and said, you know, Steve, I just want to give you the courtesy of letting you know that I've introduced this bill. I didn't steal it from you. I've been working on it for a long time, and I want to introduce my version of it. And instead of being upset, I said, that's great, Pat. I mean, I'm a freshman member of the minority party. My bill's going nowhere. But you have been around for a long time and are very well respected, and your bill is going to pass. Can you put me on your bill? And she did. And we worked together. She worked with the Republicans. I worked with the Democrats to get that bill passed. Passed both houses of legislature with only one no vote and is now law in the state of Wisconsin. I'm very proud of that. Secondly, I co-sponsored 87 bills this past session. 44 of those bills were Democratic bills. 43 of those bills were Republican bills. Almost an identical number. Because I believe both sides have good ideas. Neither side has an absolute lock on the best ideas.
And Bruce Evers, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Bruce Evers. I've been in Holman for 8 years. I have a financial company I have there. I've been in the financial business for 42 years, actually, in September. And I enjoy the opportunity to help people in planning for their retirements, pre-retirement, retirement. And now we're expanding our business into small business insurance planning as well. The reason I'm running, of course, is because I am a social and fiscal conservative, and my ideas are somewhat different than Steve's in how we approach it. I bring to the table a business mentality with the fiscal conservative idea that we need to stop spending money we don't have. Because I hear oftentimes that we're going to invest. The worst entity to have invest for you is the government. So I think we need to get our arms around the idea that we need to keep control of taxes and spending, and we need to get our fiscal house in order. And those steps were taken under Scott Walker after he was elected, and I think we're well on our way now to fiscal responsibility.
Bruce, I'm going to ask you the first question because we'll be switching back and forth as to who answers first. But we keep hearing that job creation is the top priority. A lot of people running for office like to say that that's the number one issue. How would you, if you were elected to the state assembly, use your role in government to create jobs, whether in the state or in the Coulee region?
Well, I think we're overregulated, and I know that, you know, I'm going to hear from the other side that, no, regulations help control things. I'm going to suggest to you that in the financial industry, we are overregulated. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have regulations for control mechanisms to keep things in line. However, we are stymieing business growth by having regulations that slow down the process of their development permit applications. And the list goes on and on and on. And when Steve says he's co-sponsored 87 bills in the Assembly, I'm going, when rather than co-sponsoring 87 new pieces of legislation, maybe we ought to look at what we have and find ways to streamline it, improve it, and make the system better. In other words, making our government work for us, not the other way around.
Steve Doyle, if you are reelected to the Assembly, how would you create jobs in Wisconsin and in southwest Wisconsin?
Well, again, I would continue to do as I have done the last several months, and I would work with both sides to try to get things done. And one of the first things I would work on is a bill that I introduced last session that almost made it through the Assembly. It made it through the committee process on a unanimous vote. And that's a bill that I came up with after talking with local economic development specialists here in La Crosse. There's a program called Workforce Adjustment Training Grants that is funded at a particular level in Wisconsin, and it's applied to people who are looking for work that have been displaced because of factory closings or so forth. And it's a great program, and it's been very successful. Except there's one problem with it, and that is it can only be used to train people for jobs, not create jobs. The tech school folks came to me and said, you know, if we could just tweak that and allow us to use that money to hire consultants to help these companies to diversify and look at new markets. There may be a company in La Crosse that makes widgets, but there's a company in Canada or China or India that makes super widgets. And if they could just learn, our company here could learn how to make super widgets, they could hire a lot more people. So we don't spend any more money, but we expand the definition of what that program can be used for, and then those workers that we've trained now have jobs that they can move into. Doesn't cost a dollar. It, as I said, it passed the committee on a unanimous vote. We just ran out of time before the end of the year, and I've talked to a number of people on both sides that have said, yeah, we want this bill to go through as soon as possible after the first of the year. We're 100% behind you. There's other good ideas out there, too. I don't claim to have a monopoly on good ideas. There's some good Democratic ideas, good Republican ideas. Let's go with them.
Some major employers in the area, especially in manufacturing and information technology, say they have jobs available here in La Crosse and in the region, but they don't necessarily have the people to fill those jobs. This is the skills gap issue, and it's not just unique to La Crosse. It's going on across the country. What can government do to play a role in closing the skills gap? Does government need to play a role, and if so, how? Steve Doyle?
Well, the most important thing that we need to do, in addition to bipartisanship, is a concept of collaboration, which is what I did as county board chair. So what you do with regard to the skills gap is sit down with the job holders and the job creators and find out what the needs are out there, and then you include in that that mix the educators, the tech schools, the colleges, and so forth. When we passed the budget last summer, one of the things that really distressed me a lot was the 30% cut that happened to the tech schools. These are the folks that can create instant employees to fill those jobs. And we have people that are begging, companies that are begging for welders, companies, medical facilities begging for nurses. We can't get them out fast enough. And to have cut the tech schools at a time when we most needed them more than anything didn't make any sense to me. So I think that what we do is we find out, you know, what do the tech schools need to get those people out the door? Because the tech schools produce people that tend to stay in our area instead of moving to other states because they're looking at that job that's, you know, that's here and now. So that's where I would start, is to reinstate some of that funding that the tech schools lost, but then have that meeting of the schools and the actual employers and ask them, what do you need and how can we provide it?
And Bruce Evers, what can be done about the skills gap?
Well, you know, again, here we go, spending money again. We talked about grants earlier. We talk about now we're going to reinstate 30% to the budget. I'm going to tell you, as from my opinion, that we need to start getting ourselves into the world of having residual funds set aside for programs that we can move forward. So when we get our balanced budget in place and we get ourselves on a path to the austerity that we need to do, then we can start talking about all of these quote-unquote investments into those kind of programs. Right now, the VOTEC schools are doing an extraordinary job. You know, back when I was growing up in learning and developing my career, you know, we called it OJT, on-the-job training. Companies were helping people, young people, learn skills, training. My wife worked in the telecommunications business for almost 40 years as well. And, you know, they had training programs built into their companies. Those things don't exist the way they did back then. So we do not have the opportunity for these young people to learn the skills necessary to move forward in the technology sector. VOTECs can do that. We need to have that program right now on track to become responsible for what they are without talking about additional funding at this time. We need to get our fiscal house in order.
And both of you mentioned technical colleges in your previous answer. And as we alluded to, funding for technical colleges was cut in the previous state budget. Do you propose putting more money into the system, or should technical schools find other avenues of revenue? Bruce Evers?
I think we have to look at other avenues of revenue for now. Again, I taught in the VOTEC school system back when I was a banker. I taught night classes to young financial people, learning the skills and things that were necessary to develop their careers. That was a very rewarding experience for me. Let me tell you, as an instructor, I did not make very much money because I thought it was, from my perspective, an obligation to assist them. So it basically covered my travel time to and from because I traveled about 50 miles to the school, taught class, and then went back home. The key is that we need to get involvement of people out there in the private sector into the system to help us work towards getting these young people educated so they can develop their careers.
And Steve Doyle, technical school funding.
Well, I know that Bruce doesn't like to hear this word, but I'm going to use it, investment. Education is an investment, and the tech schools are a perfect example of that. If we have people who are looking for work, they are basically taking from the system in the sense that they are receiving various types of benefits, whether it's unemployment or some other sort of governmental assistance, and they don't want that. They want to be actually productive, working people who would be contributing to the system, in other words, by way of taxes. So to have an adequately funded tech school system, I think, is an investment that pays dividends both long-term and also short-term. Now, we are projected in Wisconsin to have a surplus at the end of this biennium. I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, I'm not advocating that we go on a spending spree, but assuming that there is some money left over at the end of this biennium, I would propose that we look at using some of that in two different respects. Number one, the rainy day fund. I agree with Bruce. That's how we'd always done it at the county. We've had a rainy day fund so that we can go through the rough areas. After we've set that aside, we look at what can be safely applied to things like education, and whether it's K through 12 or post-secondary education. I think that really needs to be our top priority.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, it's the first of many Cooley Region candidate forums. Incumbent Democrat Steve Doyle is facing Republican Bruce Evers for the 94th State Assembly District seat. The election is November 6th. Our next question comes actually from one of your constituents or possible future constituents. One of our reporters, Steve Roysom, went around the 94th district just collecting questions from different voters in the area. And here's the first one.
Hi, my name is Wayne Fell. I'm from Onalaska High School. My question is this. How are you planning on making higher education more affordable? Being a parent of what will soon be two college kids, I find my son, who's currently in college, going to come out with a great debt, and I can't afford to pay their tuition in full. So how can you make higher education more affordable?
Steve Doyle.
Well, higher education has always been an important thing for me. It's doubly so now because I have two daughters in college, but I taught in the UW system here at La Crosse for 22 years, and I know the value of an education and how important it is to get that next generation higher education, the benefits of that. in terms of how we can make that more affordable, I think we have to look at two things. We have to look at the cost, and I think we have to look at the resources available. I think that we need to put a greater emphasis on financial aid for students. I heard a shocking statistic the other day that the average dental student graduates from dental school with about $166,000 of student debt. That's a house that they're probably not going to be able to afford for a good long time. So we need to help get people through as they were in the era that I went to college. Secondly, I think that we have to make tuition as affordable as possible. And in that regard, I had asked the Assembly Minority Leader to appoint me to the UW task force that looked at restructuring our UW system to make it more efficient, more effective. And we did come up with a number of different ideas, some of which involved making greater authority available at the local level for our local chancellor and so forth to save costs on things like purchasing, on things like employee benefits, on things like hiring and so forth. And so I think we have to look at trying to be ready for the new era that we're going into in education and to continue to be competitive. You know, in terms of do we raise more money through tax dollars, you know, I'm not seeing that there is a lot of sentiment in the legislature to raise taxes for really anything. And so I think that we're pretty much looking at a situation where we're going to have to find out what other resources are available and what efficiencies that we can create, such as my task force looked into.
And Bruce Evers, how to make higher education more affordable?
I think what we really need to do is because of the university system, and we have one of the best education systems in the country. There's no question about that. Wisconsin is blessed in that regard. I think what we need to look at, however, is management, how we manage the number of dollars that we have going through the system. And we will discover inside of there, if we become good managers of the money, you can always be amazed at how much you can save and provide for the opportunity to pass that on to the students coming into college. Again, these are big businesses. Colleges are big business. We have to have the best managers. We have to keep control over expenses, no matter where they are, and we start looking at using the dollars as best we can from the sources we have. When we start looking at the other issue, if you got someone, a youngster going into college right now and you haven't put away for that, it makes it difficult, and borrowing obviously is going to be a part of that program. But I'm going to suggest to you as a financial planning guy that we start encouraging people to start planning for their children early on because it's called personal responsibility. If we want our children to have great educations and we want them to move on and have great careers, we have to be personally responsible to help them get there. It becomes a contribution towards their future. And I look at that as a very serious issue. I've got 6 grandchildren. I have strategies in place that I'm going to allow them to pay for their own college educations. I started a business for my grandchildren so that they can develop the business skills and opportunities for themselves. It becomes part of the personal responsibility. We can help our kids to a degree, but we also have to understand that most of this stuff has to be on their shoulders, not somebody else's shoulders.
Does the K-12 educational system need to be improved, maybe if in the Cooley region or throughout the state? And if so, what can be done on the state level? Bruce Evers.
Well, I think we do have, as a general statement, we have a great K-12 education system here in the state. And I think that there are some schools that are lagging behind. We look at some of the metropolitan areas where the school systems are not necessarily doing the greatest job for the kids there. I believe in the voucher program where parents and child should be able to choose where they want to go to school. If they're serious about their education, why not give them the opportunity to do that? So I'm a strong advocate of the idea that let parents and children decide where they should go to school. And I think it would be a step forward in lowering the dramatic rates of kids not graduating from high school, as an example. You know, in some districts, in Milwaukee, as an example, there's some districts it's 50% are not graduating. We can't allow that to continue because these kids are going to become reliant then on us as taxpayers if they don't have careers in the future. So we have to promote the idea that let's educate our kids. Let's be responsible to them. And again, let's be good stewards for their future. I think it's important for them.
Steve Doyle, K-12 Education.
I've had a chance recently to talk with several of the school superintendents in my district, and we were talking about the new standards that are coming down from the Department of Public Instruction and what those will mean for the schools. And they're basically ramping up for some changes that are going to occur in 2014. And at the local level here, there's some concern that perhaps we have been sending our schools in one direction, and now with the new standards in 2014, we're sending them in a different direction. So I'm trying to put it together, a meeting with Superintendent Evers, with our local school superintendents, to try to work out that. But I think that concept of having standards that are objective and attainable is real important. I think that just like everything else in life, it's okay to measure schools and to assure their success. What I don't agree with, though, is to say, okay, let's start sucking resources out of our schools and putting them into voucher schools. And the problem with that is that what happens is you take sometimes the best and the brightest and the most able financially out of that school, and what's left behind is really almost guaranteed to fail. And when we have weakened school districts because of that scenario, we all suffer. I mean, not just that school district, but the future employers, the taxpayers, and so forth. And so, I mean, we have a public school system in this state and this country for good reason. The founders of our country envisioned that states would provide a solid education system. In Wisconsin, we've had one of the very best. And so I think it's important that we maintain the strength and the integrity of our public school system. My kids went to a private school, and I never expected the taxpayers to pay a dime toward them. I've always been a big supporter of public education. If you want to have your kids in a school system that's not part of public education, you should be willing to pay for that.
Our next question comes from a 94th District constituent from West Salem. They had asked, it was a retired teacher, and they had suggested that it's unfair that teachers pay more for their pensions and health care benefits than police or firefighters. Does the legislature need to do something about that? Steve Doyle.
Well, I'm concerned with the general tone that has come about in our state in the last year and a half, where we're looking at public employees, whether it be teachers or other public employees or police and fire, almost as demonization kind of an attitude, that because somebody else has something that I don't or that you don't, we should take that away from them. I've always thought that the best way to ensure success is that concept of raising all boats rather than, punching holes in a couple of boats and then we're all at the bottom. To me, that just doesn't make any sense. So I don't like the idea of saying, well, okay, the teachers had this taken away, so now let's take it away from the police and fire. I'd rather look at doing a comparison of how our public employees in general compare to, A, the private sector, and, B, other jurisdictions, whether it's another state or, from school district to school district or county to county, and try to be fair in that respect. One of the things that we saw in Wisconsin in terms of our economy and why we, from my perspective, lagged behind the rest of the country in job creation is that when we cut those benefits from our public employees in western Wisconsin, that added up to over $1 million between their various benefits that they had been receiving that then they were no longer receiving. That meant that there were a lot of people that lost their houses, that were not able to buy a house that they were going to, that were not able to buy that car or that television or go out to eat and so forth. And that ripple effect throughout the economy hurt us. And I'm not saying that we just open, the floodgates and spend money like it's going out of style, but we have to recognize whenever we make a decision that has economic ramifications, sometimes those ripples are a ways out there. And if you talk to our local stores that sell televisions or electronics or our local restaurants, they saw the impact of those cuts. And that did have an impact on our local economy and our statewide economy.
And Bruce Evers, your take on the fairness of the pension system?
Well, in the private sector, you have 401ks, you have IRAs. You can do all kinds of things to put away for your retirement. That's what I do for a living. I help people provide for that planning. The key is that as public employees, up until recently, of course, They weren't paying anything to their pension plans. It was funded by taxpayer money. And I think that we need to get down to the reality is that we have to be contributors to our own future. Pensions are a part of that. Social Security may or may not be there in the cases of a lot of people moving forward. We have to start planning for ourselves, personal responsibility. The government cannot be the end-all, do-all for every person in the state of Wisconsin or the United States of America. We have to start looking at how we can provide for our own futures. Pension plans are a part of that. There are many tools out there, many tools, that can provide for people to put away money, as an example, grow it, protect their families, and do the right things for themselves. I understand the ripple effect of saying, well, now I got to put more money into my pension plan, and that's going to be less money I have to buy a house or a car. Well, how about somebody working in the private sector? They have to plan the same way. We can't just say that we can't single out groups anymore in America. This has been going on for a long time. We are just beginning to get to the point where we're hitting the wall fiscally in our country and in our state. We were up to $3.56 billion deficit. Steve Doyle voted against the budget bill for his own reasons. I don't care what they were, but I can tell you that perhaps there may be a surplus coming from that. That's planning, moving forward, moving our future so that people can take control of their own lives to a degree, as provided for in the Constitution, as an example.
And we've reached the end of the first half of the candidate forum. I'm going to allow each of you a one-minute rebuttal. Bruce Evers, you're up first.
Well, I really think that, you know, we start talking about, again, I come back to that word investment. I don't want the government investing my taxpayer money into the whimsical world of assembly people, representatives, et cetera. Most of these people have no business experience. Most of them. Not all. Most. I think what we need to do right now is start looking at and saying, we are operating, the state of Wisconsin is a business. The school systems are a business. We have to start being responsible stewards of taxpayer money. And I think we have to start talking about the implications of making bad decisions. We have to start looking at when we start spending money that we'd use realistic data, facts, moving those decisions to the point where we don't have to look back in the rearview mirror and say, oh, God, I made a mistake. We just spent all this money. Now what do we do? I'm looking at the idea of positivity, being positive.
Steve Doyle, one-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. I agree with the concept of financial stewardship, and in my time on the county board, that's exactly what we did. According to the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, La Crosse County has the fifth lowest per capita property taxes in the state out of all 72 counties. We were very careful with our money. We were very frugal with our money. In my earlier years before I became county board chair, I was on the Finance and Personnel Committee, and we negotiated employee contracts. And I mention that because I think a lot of people don't understand the idea of how employee benefits have come about. It is cheaper as an employer, whether you're a governmental entity or a private business, to give your employees more benefits than it is to give them a raise. And so we went to our employees on a regular basis and said, cost of living is 3%, but how about if we give you less than that, but we'll increase your benefits a little bit, because then we don't have to pay the FICA and so forth on that part of what we're giving you. It's win for us, it's win for you. And so we did that over the course of years, and I think that was a smart thing to do. And then to turn around and say, well, gee, employees have too great of benefits, we have to look at why it did work out that they have better benefits.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, a candidate forum featuring Republican Bruce Evers and incumbent Democrat Steve Doyle, who are running for the 94th State Assembly District seat. The election is November 6th. Coming up in the next half hour, the candidate forum continues. Doyle and Evers will talk about taxes in the Cooley region, and they'll have the opportunity to ask each other a question. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. You can also find us on Facebook, links to our archives, photos, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.